Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 164, Acquiring Faith the Bible Way. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on December 20th, 2020.
When I'm a little scattered, like, it's okay, it's going to be okay, just look at me, like, keep your eyes in, like, this gesture, right? Like, yeah. Don't be all over here, like this, right? And I was having a conversation with somebody that's struggling during the course of this week. And it felt like the Lord said, just dropped this scripture, this story in my spirit to share with this person. I feel like it can bless many of us because it blessed me. And I think I received it at the same time that I was giving it and sharing it with this person. So, you know, the story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter getting out of the boat in Matthew 14. It starts, So he dismissed the disciples. This is in verse 23. This is Matthew 14. He dismissed them. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So I can just picture, and I told this person, I said, picture yourself, you're Peter, and we can all picture ourselves as Peter in the boat, and we see Jesus, and it's like, well, we realize it's Jesus once he says, it's I, right? He says, take courage. First, we're fearful because we think it's a ghost or some weird thing, and Jesus says, no, it's me. Take courage. Don't be afraid. That is Jesus's message to us. That's always been his message to us. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the pandemic going on around us. Don't look at what could happen. Don't look at the state of the election or, you know, the political situation. Don't look at anything that could distract you. Your own belly button, one of my leaders used to say. Don't be staring at your own stuff all the time, like my sickness. Well, it's not your sickness. Lift your head up from your own stuff, because it's not yours anyway, especially if it's a sickness I'm talking about. It doesn't belong to you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Because he's there and he's calling you and he's believing that you can do it. In him, you can do it. When you're focused on him, you can take a step into this new year. You can take a step into what he's calling you into. It's when we get distracted and, oh, there's wind, or, oh, there's circumstances. Oh, there's sickness. Oh, there's something that, you know, isn't favorable or that I didn't expect. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And even while the wind is going and the waves are tossing the boat and whatever, you can still walk forward because you're keeping your eyes fixed firmly on the one who's called you out of the boat, and the one who gives you the strength to do it, and the one who with his own voice, he's leading you. And it's the same Jesus. Like I said, it's the same Jesus. He's always come with this message. Take courage. Don't be afraid, right? When Jesus came in the flesh, Luke 2, when he came in the flesh, praise the Lord, I marked it. Here it is. He came, right, with the angels appearing to the shepherds. And what was the message? Don't be afraid. It's the same Jesus. You know, like, you're stepping shaky there and like, oh, I don't think I can get out of the boat. It's the same Jesus. And I had this idea of like Jesus, the man, 30 something years old, however old he was. It's the same Jesus, like flashback, you know, 30 years or whatever, himself in the form of a baby. He came to say, take courage. Don't lose heart. I've come to give you great joy. The angel said, Luke 2, this is verse 10. The angel said to them when they appeared to the angel or to the shepherds out in the fields, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And the story goes on. But it's that same Jesus. He's the one calling you, the one that came in the flesh to conquer the works of the devil, the Bible says, right? He came to destroy the works of the evil one, of Satan, the defeated foe. And he actually disarmed the powers and the authorities. He took care of them, right? And it's him. It's him that's calling to you, saying, don't be afraid. You can do it. Step out of the boat. I believe in you. Keep your eyes fixed on me. He's the one that is. He is our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This was prophesied in Isaiah 9, going back, right? Before even Jesus came incarnate in the flesh. It was prophesied, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So don't look at the wind. Don't look at the wave. Look at the Prince of Peace. Keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace, and you will walk on the water. You will get out of that boat. You will leave fear behind you, and you will walk forward into what he has for you. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. If you feel like your peace has ended, look at where you are and look at what you're looking at. Are you looking at the circumstances? Because this says there will be no end to his peace. So as long as we're abiding in him, as long as we're connected to him, as long as we're walking forward, listening to his voice, his word, grounded and rooted, built up and established on his word, and keeping our eyes focused on him, there will be no end to our peace, because he's the Prince of Peace and he lives inside of us. So let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You came to give us good news. Joy. Joy to all the people. Thank you, Jesus. We have joy and peace in our lives when we connect with you, when we keep our eyes focused on you, when we lock eyes with you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us the courage, the boldness to take a step out of the boat, thinking that we could even do it. Because it's you. It's you that gives us the strength. It's you that gives us the ability to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. I pray over all of us going into this new year, Father, that we would dare to keep our eyes fixed on you, and then dare, as we're doing that and as we're dwelling in you, abiding in you, continuing to hear your voice from your word in our lives, that we would dare to take a step out of the boat and do what you are calling us to do, to be victorious, filled, spirit filled, on fire, believers set free and healed, to do your will, to serve you, Jesus, and to pass on that message to others. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take courage. He is with you and he is for you. He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Let us have a revelation of that this Christmas as we celebrate. You have come in the flesh. We celebrate that this week. Thank you, Jesus. Let us have a new revelation of Christmas. The Jesus, the Word, came in the flesh for us to bring us great news, great joy for all the people. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm part of all the people, and I receive your peace, and I receive your joy. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for an awesome, powerful revelation on the inside of us this week as we celebrate and as we gather with our families to celebrate. Let us be representatives of you. Let us be your light and your peace, pillars of peace that are not moved by the wind and the waves, and that as we gather with family and friends, they will see, hey, you've got peace. It's because I've been with Jesus, you can say. You have a hope for which the reason for the hope that you have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So why is it I need to preach now? Wow, that was so good.
Yes, amen.
Somebody needs to take that little segment and put it on Facebook so that it can be shared this week, because a lot of people need that message. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Such an encouragement. Thanks, Sarah, for sharing that with us, sharing from your heart. You can do that again sometime. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day which you have made. We're glad and rejoice in it. We thank you that your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what you please, and it prospers where you send it. So, Lord, I ask you to speak through my lips today. I ask you, Lord God, that you, through the Holy Spirit, would take whatever I say, and what you say about what I say and what Sarah said is more important than anything we could ever say. So thank you, Father, for putting it into the hearts of these who are listening, these who are watching, those who are watching or listening later on YouTube and other media formats, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, that you would bless them with it, Father, that you would lift them up and that you would strengthen and encourage them to walk in victory for your kingdom and for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to continue speaking about faith today. You know, sometimes it's hard on holidays just to decide, you know, what to speak, what to preach, and what to minister. Obviously, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and that's not to be taken lightly. It's not only a Christian tradition for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but it is a reality. Jesus did come in the flesh. I mean, that's the centrality of the gospel, is that he came in the flesh. You know, the Bible says if he didn't come in the flesh, then our faith is really in vain, and we're still left in our sins because Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we could die to sin and live to righteousness and be healed by his stripes. So really is an important aspect of the Christian faith, and that's why it's celebrated. You know, we could debate about whether it was on December 25th or not, but that probably would be a fruitless debate because the tradition has been set already. So you might as well just swim with it and go and use it as an opportunity to minister to people. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So anyway, I'm going to talk to you about faith this morning because I have a feeling that coming into 2021, you're going to need to use your faith.
Yep.
And you're going to need to grow your faith. So whatever the outcome of various things that are going on is COVID, elections, et cetera, doesn't really matter. The reality is there are some challenges ahead. And some of those challenges we maybe already know about, and some of those, you know, we're yet to find out. And it's the surprising ones that usually get us, because, you know, if you're not ready, you're not prepared, then how are you going to handle what's ahead? So the Bible says the just shall live by faith, and that's kind of central to what I want to speak about this morning. The justified, those who are the righteous ones, those who are the saved ones, those who have come to God through Jesus, they're going to need to be people who live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. What that means is that you can try to walk, you can try to live your life through your five physical senses and do the best you can, or you can walk on a different level through faith in God, through faith in the name of Jesus, and allow his power to propel you into your future, into your destiny that God has created for you. So we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So just think about that for a moment. Without faith, it's impossible. Impossible means impossible, right? It's
right.
Not possible to please God if you're not a person of faith. So A lot of people strive to please God in many ways. You know, we try to be a good person, you know, but the Bible says all of our righteousness is filthy rags. So however good you are or however good you've been doesn't really get it. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So most of us are pretty aware of that reality, because we have some faults, we have some shortcomings, we have temptations and sins that we can easily beset us, the Bible says. It says we should throw those sins off, those weights off. And there are many things that are not necessarily sin, but they're not really bringing us more righteousness, more peace, more joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not the physical things around us, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there are lots of opportunities to fall, and there's lots of opportunities to fail, and we're aware of that. But thankfully, we can enter into a place of faith and walk into victory after victory after victory if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, as Sarah was preaching so eloquently and just a few minutes ago. He's the author, the developer, the finisher of our faith. So we need to be people of faith because we want to please God. And the Bible says in another place, whatever doesn't come of faith is sin. So, I mean, wow. I mean, you're just kind of caught in between those bookends of, you know, we just really need to be people of faith. So you're not going to be a person of faith if you don't know how to receive faith, if you don't know how to get faith. So today I'm just going to give you a really simple message about acquiring faith the Bible way, because there are lots of ideas about how people can get faith. So we really see through the Gospels, through the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus often challenged his disciples concerning their faith. On occasion, he rebuked them for hardness of heart and unbelief even. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, people were trying to tell the disciples, the ones who had been as close to him as anybody could possibly get, that he had been raised from the dead, and yet they didn't believe. You know, the women came from the grave and said, "We've seen Jesus, he's alive," and they didn't believe. And then others came and told them, "We've seen Jesus alive," and they still didn't believe. And finally Jesus appeared to them and said, "You know, you guys, what's the matter with you?" And he rebuked them for hardness of heart and unbelief. So we live centuries later, a couple of millennia later. We have not seen Jesus. But what Jesus said to his disciples when he appeared to them is really important. He said, you know, you're blessed because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.
Amen. Amen.
So even though you haven't seen him in a physical form, you can see him from your heart through a force called faith, because you trust in God and you trust in the Word of God. It's not magic. It's not mystical. It's not beyond your reach. You can be a person of faith, and you can be a person of growing faith. So people have different ideas on how to acquire and how to grow their faith. So that's why I'm speaking about this morning, because it's really important to get the simple concepts of how to receive the kind of faith that you will need for 2021. If we want to see the results like Jesus' disciples did, or the people in the early church that are described in the book of Acts did, or in the letters that Paul wrote to the church, we are going to need to acquire faith the Bible way, not just some other way or some traditional way. For example, a lot of people think, just pray for me, Pastor, so that I get faith. I would love to do that, but it would be fruitless because it won't work. So let's look at it. The Bible says the righteous, in three places, I think it is, some in the old and some in the new, it says that the righteous shall live by faith. So let's look at one of those places. In Habakkuk, the second chapter, the first four verses. Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. It's towards the end of the Old Testament there. But if you're on your on your device, you can just punch in the name, H-A-B, and you'll get it. So I will climb, it says in verse 1, I will climb up to my watchtower and I will stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my vision plainly on the tablets. Or this version says, write my answer. Some translations say, write the vision on the tablets, so that the runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Some of the translations say, behold, the soul, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. So faithfulness or faith, I think, is the proper translation of this. The righteous person will live by his faith in the God who created us, his faith in the God who sent Jesus to the earth, his faith in the Jesus who went to the cross and then was raised from the grave. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. You can't be saved any other way. So faith is the first elementary aspect of a Christian's life, of a believer's life, because you can't come to God any other way except through Jesus. And the way you come to God through Jesus is by the force called faith. So that's why it's important for every believer to know how to get faith and how to walk by faith, or how to live by faith. So it says the righteous will live by his faith, or the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. So you might wonder, why did he write that in the first place? This is the second chapter of Habakkuk. In the first chapter, it gives us a clue as to why he might be writing such things. In verse 1, it says, this is the message that Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. So it's talking about kind of the despair that happens when there's stuff going on and it seems like God is far away. Verse 3 says, must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and to fight. Do you recognize any of these kind of things kind of going on here? So verse 4, the law has become paralyzed and there's no justice in the courts. The wicked outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Sound familiar? Verse 5, the Lord replied, look around at the nations, look and be amazed. For this should be a word of encouragement to you.
Yes, amen.
Look around and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. So just think about that verse for a second. Okay, you got all this stuff going on, everything, you know, is not so nice, looking bad, looking worse, getting worse, etc. But now, God has a word for you. Look at the nations, be amazed, for I'm doing something in your day, your own day. So that can apply to every person in every generation that's ever lived, including you and me. It's really great news, amen?
Amen.
He said, I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if somebody told you about it. So that's why in chapter 2 that Habakkuk is writing about writing the vision, making it plain, making it clear so that people can run with it. If you don't have that kind of vision inside of you, you're going to become impatient, distressed, anxious, fearful, and the things that are going on around you will have the tendency to take you out and put you down. So important to have the force of faith working with you. So the key verse that we're looking at from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 was, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder, but he's not going to reward laziness. He's not going to reward just sitting around hoping something happens. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the way that you can diligently seek him is through faith. The force of faith will operate in your life in such a way that you can seek and find the God of heaven and earth, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and the God that's going to help you through every difficulty, every situation you ever face, who's going to be with you in the good times and with you in the bad times. That's why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil, it says in towards the end of the book there. So if you're a believer in Jesus, there's hope for you all the time in spite of all the stuff that's going around, because God will do an amazing thing for you in your own day, even if it seems like it's not happened for everybody else around you, you know. This isn't dependent on what other people believe, what other people think, or what other people are hoping for. This is dependent on you looking to your God, who's going to take you through, who is your deliverer, who is your rock, your fortress, your God in whom you trust. Psalm 91 promises can be yours all the way from the first verse to the last verse. Psalm 23 can be the way you live your life from the first verse to the last verse. You don't have to be distressed. You don't have to be put out. You don't have to be fearful for 2021 or any year after that until Jesus comes back, because the good news is you have the victory through Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. And even if you're going through pressure, stress, and distress, and you know there's some bad things happen to you or happening to you, you can rise above those things with courage, with boldness, lift your head and lift your eyes and look to the hills from whence comes your help. Your help comes in the name of the Lord, yes, who created heaven and earth. Yes. You won't be disappointed and you won't be dismayed if you keep your eyes in the right place and you keep your heart in the right place. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So probably nobody walks this perfectly, but I want to encourage you today. You can step into it and you can grow in it and you can let it grow in you. And you can start to be the solution instead of part of the problem. Amen. Praise the Lord, because that's God's design for us and that's his hope and dream for us. Praise the Lord. So I want to take you to a story in the Bible, in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, it's a story really about faith and tremendous things that happen when faith comes on the scene. It's Acts chapter 8, verse 5. It's a short story about Philip going to the city of Samaria. It says he preached Christ to them. In other words, he preached about Jesus. So this is shortly after Jesus was raised from the dead and went to heaven to be with his Father. And the Bible says that the church grew in Jerusalem and the people were under some persecution. They were scattered, and so when they got under this persecution, wherever they went, they preached Jesus. They preached Christ. They preached the Messiah. They preached the revelation that was so bright in their hearts. They preached to everybody. In Mark chapter 16, it says they went everywhere preaching the word, and God worked with them, confirming the word with signs following or signs accompanying them. So signs, wonders, miracles were commonplace in the early church, and sometimes, you know, now that we're distant from that by a couple of thousand years, we feel like we got left out. We were disappointed because we're not seeing the great miracles and the great things, you know, that we thought we should see, you know, when we came to Jesus, and maybe something isn't happening for us very quickly. So we need to be just pressing in to see, why is that not so? Why is it not happening? Why isn't our life looking like the book of Acts? Why aren't all these good things happening? Well, they really, in reality, they are happening. They're happening someplace. It might not just be at your house. It might not be just in your neighborhood, but they are happening. But the good news is that they can happen in your house and they can happen in your neighborhood if you will begin to step out by faith and begin to claim the promises of God and begin to act on the word of God. You can be a person of faith who brings onto the scene the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the one who does all the mighty works of God that are described in the Bible. So in this story, it says that Philip went there and he preached Christ to them. Verse 6 says, the multitudes with one accord, they heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. There was great joy in the city. Of course, there'd be great joy in this city if, you know, multitudes were coming to Jesus and people were being healed everywhere and the streets were full of people who were so excited about what was happening to them, they couldn't keep their mouth shut. Amen? The Bible says in the Christmas story, in the Luke 2 story, you know, about the angels announcing, he said that they said that Jesus would bring great joy to the earth. And this is what they were speaking about when they made that announcement, when they made that proclamation. They were speaking about what would happen as a result of this child being born and growing up to become a man and taking the sins of the world and redeeming people from sin so that the restoration from God could come to the human race, so that there really could be peace on earth, goodwill to men. So we look around and we see war and we see violence and we see all of those kinds of things and we say, where is the peace on earth? But the peace can be inside your heart. Amen. I've had the privilege to minister to people in prison and in jail over the years that have been in the ministry. And one of the outstanding things that I've taken away from that is that those who come to Jesus, whether they came to him before they were in prison or when they got into the prison and then got saved, one of the takeaways that I've had from speaking to these men and women is that one day they came to a place where they weren't afraid anymore. Now, prison can be a very fearful place. Whether you've just visited there or whether you've been on the inside looking out, it's pretty frightful what can happen in prisons. And there's like a war going on inside, and there's intimidation, and there's all kinds of abuse and all kinds of things from all kinds of ways. But these men and women that received Jesus, one of the things they often said to me was, I can remember the day when I was no longer afraid. I can remember the day when the presence of God came around me and I could smile and laugh and everybody was saying, why are you happy? This is not a happy place. This is not a place where you can smile. This is not a place where you can be joyful. But they said, you know, when the fear left, I became a different person. And when I became a different person, my whole life in prison changed. And it's been the testimony of prisoner after prisoner after prisoner that's come to Jesus Christ. So there, and many of them told me, he said, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are not in prison that are really in prison. Yeah. Because I don't feel like I'm in prison anymore. Because I have the joy of Jesus in my heart. I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, and I'm no longer afraid. So if they can live that way in a fearful place like that, think about how you and I have the potential to live that way outside of being incarcerated, outside of being in a place, a difficult place like that. So our hope is in Jesus. Here the Bible says that there was great joy in that city because of what? Someone came to them and preached the word of God. Someone came and told them the good news. You know, what we say, gospel. Sometimes, you know, we just use Christianese and nobody figures out what that means. It's good news. Amen. What Jesus came to do and what he did when he came is really good news. Because the good news is that you don't have to stay the way you are. You can be how God created you to be. If you will accept that good news and come to him, you can see miracle after miracle after miracle, because God will intervene in your life in a powerful way. And you can be a different kind of person if you will just put your faith in God through Jesus Christ and believe what God says about him in the Word of God. You can be a different person. That's what happened to these people in that city. It didn't take many weeks, months, and years for them to come to this place. When they heard what Philip preached and they began to believe, they began to see the miracles of God all around them, and they became people of faith. So that's a wonderful story. But that doesn't really explain kind of the simplicity of how you can receive faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12, we read, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek." In other words, God is not playing favorites with people depending on your race, between your ethnicity, your background, how did you grow up, what kind of family did you come in. There's no distinction, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, which is really a quote from the Old Testament. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But just saying those things without the mix of faith, without the force of faith operating within you, you can be crying out of desperation and not necessarily be calling out in faith. But here it says, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then it explains, how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So here's where you and I fit. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you can be. If you know the good news, you can be. Because preaching just means proclaiming. And so it's not about standing behind a pulpit. It's not about some, you know, having some magical title. It's about being able to share the things that God has placed in your heart in a way that other people can receive them and have faith in the Jesus that you believe in. That's the important thing. That's the key to living the Christian life. It's the key to being happy with your Christian life. There's a lot of dissatisfied, unhappy Christians, and most of it is because they've been taught to just come and hear and listen and do nothing with it. But if you will get really uncomfortable with that and begin to decide, I can't just sit, I have to go and do what Jesus said I should do, make disciples of nations. If you make that decision and that determination, then you can be a person who is experiencing the power and the presence of God in new and exciting ways. Because that's really what God has called all of us to do. He didn't call us to be the sit church, he called us to be the go church.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. He didn't call us to be the hospital, he called us to be the airport. So let's go and do what God has called us to do. How shall they preach? And then it says, how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So it's pretty clear, you know, what message you should have when you go out. It should be glad tidings of good things. Amen? Amen. Most people already know that they're sinners and they're going to hell. So I'm not minimizing the place of sin or that people should be confronted with sin so that they can come to a place of repentance. But the good news is you don't have to stay a sinner.
Amen.
The good news is Jesus made a way because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to go to hell because God didn't design it for you. He designed it for Satan and for his followers. But he didn't design it for you because you're a special person. You are his creation. And he wants you to be created after him in righteousness and holiness so that you can go see him and live with him forever someday. But it's not just about what can happen someday. It's about what can happen between now and the someday. How are you going to live the rest of your life? You can live it at peace with God. You can live it with peace in your heart. You can live in a fearless and victorious way in spite of all the things that's going on around you. Or you can just hope that somehow things get better someday. But here it says, how shall they hear unless they are sent? And then verse 16 says, yet they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, who has believed our report? So here's the issue. You can hear the good news time after time after time after time. You can have people tell you that Jesus loves you and wants to save you, wants to heal you, wants to deliver you. But unless you mix what you hear with faith, unless you receive it by faith, it's fruitless for you it's meaningless to you because you just say, well, that may have worked for mom and dad, that may have worked for somebody else, but it's, I don't get it, I don't see it. But you can see it. Because if you open the eyes of your heart, if you will just be open enough to say, okay, I don't understand all of this, and I don't really see how it could help me, but I can believe one thing. I can believe that God really does love people enough to send His Son, Jesus. I can believe that He went to the cross to take my sins. I can believe that I'm forgiven. And now the next step is, if you can make Jesus your Lord, just to accept Him as your Lord, to declare Him as your Lord, you're on your way. You're on the path. Because that's the first step to walking and living as a Christian. They say, well, I still don't really understand it. I don't get it. We're getting there. So it says, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So why should somebody preach the good news to you? Why should somebody tell you about these things? Why should somebody make these proclamations or declarations or say these words to you? Jesus loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to live a different kind of life. He wants to help you. He wants to come in your life in ways that are meaningful. Why should you hear those words? Because that's how faith comes. Those words come from the Bible. Those words come from the Word of God. Those words come from the heart of God. And if you will begin to believe those words, that's the force of faith on the inside of you. You see, you could hope that God would do something for you, but hope always keeps things in the future. But if you begin to believe or have faith that God will help you, that will bring it into the presence and it will bring it into your life immediately the moment that you believe. Hope is necessary. I mean, it's good to have hope, but it's not a very good receiver. Faith is a receiver. Faith is like the hand that takes a hold of the blessing, or that takes a hold of the gift. If somebody has a gift to offer you here at Christmas time, you know, you have a choice. You can refuse the gift or you can accept the gift. You know, probably all of us have heard stories or maybe experienced this, you know, where somebody doesn't like you very much and they refuse the gift. You know, it's the old rejection thing, like, you know, the way I can get them back is just not take it. Man, I hate you, I don't want it, you know, I don't want anything from you, just, or to treat the gift really lightly or frivolously. There are lots of ways you can get back at people. And one of the ways is to reject them. But when you take your hand out and you reach and you receive the gift, there's a connection that's made between you and the giver. And that's what happens when you begin to believe the Word of God about what Jesus did for you. When you begin to believe these words that people have spoken to you about Jesus and His love for you and all the things that they're hoping that you will receive from them because God loves you. And when you begin to reach out with the hand of faith and say inside yourself, you don't even have to say this part of it outside. If you begin to say inside of you, I believe, I receive what this person is saying. You say, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a Christian family. They taught me the best that they knew how to teach, you know, us kids to follow God. We never really were taught about faith. We were never really taught about how to get saved. We were taught some things about it. Some of them were traditional beliefs that really, they were based on some scriptures, but they really are not the way that you receive Jesus and make Him your Lord. But they did. My parents did the best. They loved us and they wanted us to be Christians. They wanted us to be believers. And so you know, their methodology was to mostly take us to church and enroll us in Sunday school and all those kind of things. Now, in the course of that, we were exposed to the Word of God. But it wasn't until later years when someone began to confront us about really accepting Jesus as Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead, and confessing his lordship in our life, that our lives began to change. So we were almost 30 years old, I think, before we actually came to Jesus and came to the kingdom of God in that way. But all along the way, there were people who were telling us the things that we were rejecting or just letting fly by us. We could have lived for Jesus many more years of those early years of our life if we had just began to believe from our heart some of the things that were being shared with us. If we had just opened our heart and began to say, you know, I can see in this person that they're different. I can see that they have a different kind of a life. I can see that they have peace inside. I can see that they have some joy in the life. I can see that when they pray, God answers their prayers. I think that was one of the amazing things that we saw when we went into that little small group where these folks were sharing Jesus with us in this gentleman's home. When we saw them being so sincere about praying, you know, I was raised in a tradition where we prayed, but it was mostly out of some kind of book, you know, it was like some kind of written prayer, and we saw the pastors, you know, they read all their prayers out of there, and so, and our parents taught us some memorized prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep you. Now I can repeat them today because, you know, they were drilled into us, you know. Or to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive our sins, etc. Those things were drilled into us, but our concept of prayer was these memorized prayers and somebody reading out of a book. But when we went into this small group, we discovered there were some people that would just pray in front of people. Like just crazy people, they just pray in front of people. They just say stuff, you know. They talk to God like he's sitting beside them, you know. He talked to God like he's a person in the room. And then what's even more crazy about it is they're expecting him to answer. And then we'd come back the next week and then they would tell us how God answered those prayers. Isn't that amazing? So I think that had more impact on us probably than anything else because we saw the sincerity of these people. They weren't just telling us about this Jesus who couldn't do anything for you and they will just become a Christian and go to heaven someday. You know, there's a lot more between now and then. Should Jesus not come back yet today? We have to face tomorrow with something. And we discovered that there's a different way of life, a life of faith, a life of believing, a life of trusting God to really do something about the stuff we're in. And we began then to discover that for ourselves when we took the step of faith to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and to just be willing to say, Jesus is my Lord, even when it didn't feel like he was. And even if we still had some problems and some stuff in our lives that wasn't right. But when we made that declaration, something changed on the inside. You know, before we went to these groups, you know, we used to go from our house, it was just a couple of miles, you know, across town, across Elkhart, that's where we lived at the time. We used to get in the worst fights. I know you cannot believe that Pastor Karen would get into a fight with me, someone as nice as me.
Uh-oh. Praise the Lord.
I know you find that really, really hard to believe.
Right.
But we could have some knockdown dragouts between the house and the other house where we were going. And we discovered it. You know, we could get along pretty well most of the week. You know, we both had our jobs and, you know, everything is okay. And then on the night when we had this little small group meeting, somehow between the door and the car, something happened, and we get into this like big fight, mostly over nothing. I can't even remember it. I can't even remember anymore the context of any of these arguments and fights. And we started to recognize a pattern. The pattern was we want to go to the group meeting, we want to go to the home group meeting, the small group meeting, and then we get into this fight. So the idea is let's not go because we can't go in and let these people see us like this, fighting. Because they don't fight at that place. They got something else going on in their lives, you know, whatever. They're kind of like perfect people, maybe. And this never happens to them, you know. They always get to the meeting, you know. And then we discovered, you know, that there's an author of that kind of stuff that brings strife and other things, because the Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil thing. And we discovered there was someone trying to keep us from finding the Jesus that these people had. Right. And when we discovered that and they told us how to deal with that, then it ceased.
Amen.
And we could go to the meeting, be happy, and start becoming like the rest of the folks in that Jesus was hearing our prayers and answering our prayers and doing those things. So, but it all started with believing the Word of God, accepting that word, and then acting upon that word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Now, just one caution with that scripture. It's a really easy scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you understand the only way you can get faith is by listening to and receiving the word of God and believing it, okay? But some people take it this way. I heard that, so it should be working for me. But faith does not come from having heard the word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Because somehow it has to get from your head down to your heart. And the process of that happening happens over a course of time as you continue to hear the word of God. So if people have been talking to you about these things and you've been, you know, kind of giving them some pushback about it, the reason is because it doesn't come by just having heard it once or twice or three times, but it comes from focusing on what God is saying, because he wants to keep that thing infused into your heart. So then let me address the lazy Christians. Now, I know there are none of those in here, and there are probably none of them watching on Facebook Live, we're on YouTube today, sorry. There are none of you on YouTube live stream that are lazy, okay? Have you got that? You probably wouldn't be watching this long if you're lazy. But there are some lazy Christians, and they have Bibles in every room, but the Bibles stay closed on the tables, on the bookshelves, etc. They have them in their phone, but they rarely crack it up unless pastor says in the church service, you know, get into your Bible and turn to whatever page, you know, whatever. That's detrimental to your faith, because faith comes by continually hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come by having heard the Word of God once. So, for example, we teach people, you've got sickness going on, you've got something that you're fighting, some symptoms and all of those kind of things. The Bible says you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, I can tell you that here, and you can believe that word, but when you get out the door and the symptoms are bothering you, then what are you believing? Are you believing you got your healing, or are you believing that you're healed by Jesus' stripes? So that's one of the issues. What will help you? What will help you is going back to that scripture, 1 Peter 2:24 or Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, and continuing to put that in, that input. You say, well, is it mind over matter? It has to do with your mind, because obviously you're processing things intellectually. You're processing things with your mind. But if it doesn't get down to your heart, it's not going anywhere. Because your faith, you will never be able to act on faith consistently from your head, but you will be able to act on your faith consistently from your heart. So faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, continually hearing the Word of God. So we make, for example, with sickness, we make resources available to you on our website. There's in both Spanish and English, there are healing scriptures, 45 of them, and you can access those. You can, you know, you can stick them in your ear, and you can listen to them all night if you put it on repeat on your phone. There's some CDs back there if you still have some of those Boat Anchor CD players. You can play CDs all night long. We used to play scripture CDs for our kids every night when they went to bed. They would go to sleep hearing the Word of God. Consequently, all three of our children are saved. All three of our children married believers that are saved. All three of our children are raising their children to be saved and doing some of the same things for them. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. If you want to live a different kind of life, you have to do different kinds of things. And one of them is to let the Word of God take hold of your heart and to begin to believe it and then begin to say and confess the things that you're believing. That's what puts you on the path of receiving great and mighty things from God. Then you'll have great joy in your house, in your neighborhood, in your city, because the same thing that'll happen, same thing will happen to you that happened to these people in the book of Acts. So I'm going to go on from there and then close. So in this we see the potential, the tremendous potential of faith and how that kind of faith is acquired. It's not by religious exercise, like for example church attendance. You don't get more faith from church attendance unless you're receiving something in that service. It's not by prayer. You can't just pray for faith and get it. It's not by fasting or doing some kind of bodily thing, you know, that makes faith come to you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So, in Romans chapter 10, it says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." That's speaking about faith. But when your heart takes a hold of the Word of God through faith, that becomes a reality for you. I don't know I'm trying to say this in a lot of different ways because it's really, really important. It's the key, really, to living in harmony with God. So I'll give you one more example of how this works. This is from Acts chapter 14. It's a story of a crippled man who got healed. In verse 8, Acts chapter 14, verse 8, it says in Lystra, a city that Paul was going to, "A certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked." So think about the condition of this person. He was born crippled. Verse 9 says, "This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up on your feet.' And he leaped and walked." So, just looking at what happened here, Paul did three things. He preached the good news, or the gospel, in verse 7 there. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed, which it says in verse 9 there. And then he told the man to stand up and walk, in verse 10. The man also did three things. He heard Paul preach, verse 9. He had faith to be healed, verse 9. And he leaped and walked, verse 10. Now you say, well, it's incredible. How could that possibly work? It could work through the force of faith. That's why I'm talking to you about this morning. You can have that kind of a miracle. It's possible for you. The Bible says that all things are possible to him that believes. A person who has faith, these kinds of things are possible for. Now, just to make a disclaimer here, I'm not saying if some of these things haven't happened for you yet that you're not a person of faith or that you don't have enough faith. There may be some reasons you haven't received what you're believing for, but if you will seek God, He will show you exactly where the issue is, where the problem is. Nobody's condemning you as being not a person of faith. Nobody's trying to discourage you because it hasn't happened for you yet. But we are encouraging you to be a person of faith and to get into the Word of God and let your faith grow. Because that will bring you the answer. That will bring you the solution. That will bring you the breakthrough. Okay, so the man was healed. The man was not healed by some power that Paul had. It wasn't the magic touch of Paul. He didn't even touch this guy. He just talked to him. The man himself had faith to be healed. The Bible says that Paul looked at him and he saw that he had faith to be healed. So sometimes you can look at people and you can perceive that they're a person of faith. That's what happened here. It wasn't some power, some magic that was emanating from Paul. This man had faith to be healed. Where did he get that faith to be healed? Well, it was because Paul preached a gospel of salvation for healing. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek." So Paul believed that preaching the Word of God or giving someone the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, telling people about the Word of God would have an effect. The effect would be that faith would come and faith would produce mighty miracles for them. There's a footnote in one of the Bibles, the Scofield Bible, that says the Greek and Hebrew word for salvation implies the idea of deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness. Therefore, Paul was saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness." Paul preached the full gospel, not just part of it. So there we see. So what are we going to take away from this morning? Well, this is Christmas time, so we're talking about having times of joy. Now, times of joy in the midst of COVID, you know, they're telling you stay home, keep your mask on, stay in the basement, don't associate it with anybody, social distance and whatever, and don't see your family. Get locked up. Okay, so I understand COVID is real. You know, I've had a touch of it, so but I want to tell you there's life after COVID. So,
amen.
So praise God, there's victory. Amen.
Amen.
The pandemic may be over, but some folks didn't figure out about that. But whether it is or not, you may have some challenges ahead, but the way to meet those challenges is with faith. Faith in God. Faith in the God who's going to help you. Faith in the God who's brought you healing. Faith in the God who's going to help you with your job, with your finances, with your family, and all those other things that are being attacked in this situation. So here's a couple of scriptures about joy that I think we can take into 2021 that will help us a great deal. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Mark that in your Bible or write it down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I think this could be an encouragement to you as you step into 2021. Second scripture, John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So it's giving you a roadmap here. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So it's possible to go into 2021 with some joy if you become a person of faith. And finally, this scripture we'll close with, Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. This is speaking about God. It says, "You make me to know the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You know, people are seeking pleasure and joy in lots of different ways. And over the holidays, you know, you're going to probably see some crazy stuff, the way people seek for joy. But the way to true joy is to know the path of life. And the only way that you're going to know the path of life is to let God put you on that path. He says, you make known to me the path of life. This morning, I've spoken to you, I hope clearly and pretty extensively, about how to get on that path. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that's the first step in the path. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That's the second step on the path. When you get on that path, your life will change. Yes. Amen. And faith is the substance of that thing that you hope for. It's the evidence of everything you can't see. That faith will propel you into a new life of victory. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now that you're speaking into hearts and you're speaking into lives, and that your kind of faith is rising up in people's hearts. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will take these words from your book and that you will make them come alive to every man, woman, young person who's here in this place, who's listening to it on YouTube, who's listening to it on the podcast. I pray, Father, that you will bring to life these words and that saving faith and victory will come into every life in Jesus' name. And for it, I'm thankful and grateful because I know that you will hasten your word to perform it. I know that your word never returns empty. It accomplishes what you please. It prospers where you send it. And so I am confident, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that you're doing what I've just asked you to do. And for it, I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So right now, Ms. Cheryl's going to receive our offerings for this morning, and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray for you. So don't go away on YouTube live stream or here in the sanctuary. We're going to be back and we're going to pray for you. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Hello, everyone. Praise the Lord. Keep an attitude of worship here. We're giving to the Lord. We're giving to the Lord. We're giving to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reading from 1 Chronicles 29. Thank you, Jesus. It says, blessed are you, Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise you, your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our day on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house, for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart toward you. Okay? Everything belongs to God. And he gives it to us, and then he only asks back for 10%. That's our tithes. And then next comes the offerings. Okay? Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So everybody here who has that job or, you know, you have things, it's all the Lord's. And he's only asking back for 10%. And then there are those offerings that go above and beyond if that is in your heart. That's what he's asking us for. He provides us with everything. But my God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it's according to his riches and glory. And he's really only asking back for a little. And a lot of times people will say, well, I can't afford to. Well, you can't afford not to. We are citizens of heaven and we go by his economy. And his economy is giving, not hoarding, not keeping it all for yourself, saving it up, giving, giving, giving. In Malachi, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But I say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. It says you are cursed with a curse. We don't want to be cursed with a curse. None of us. It says, for you have robbed me. Okay? But it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food. We had good food this morning. We had food, good food this morning. So it says, bring all your tithes in the storehouse. All. Okay? That there may be food in my house and try me. This is one place the Lord tells us to try you in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you, the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's so you can be a blessing to other people. And I will rebuke the devourer. Who's going to rebuke the devourer for us? God. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Says, and all nations will call you blessed. People are trying to get to this nation. They are. But we are blessed. Hallelujah. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? This was said to for Israel. But we can expect results if we follow the principles. He's asking us to follow the principles. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the last scripture I want to share with you says, let him who stole steal no more, no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. That's in Ephesians 4:28. And this morning I was thinking about that. It's like, oh, that goes along with not robbing God. If you're not robbing God, then you should be able to, like, labor with your hands so that you can give. We're supposed to work to give, people. As people of God, we're supposed to be different. Work to give. And then we should be cheerful givers. Don't put a sour look on your face when you're trying to give to God. What's up with that? Could you see him going, oh my God, here I gotta go to the cross for them. Jeez. No, he didn't do it. He said for the joy. It was for joy he did that. We need to quit that sour look on our face. Oh, my God, here comes the plate. No, no, no. We got to be cheerful givers. God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. He loves it. He says, cast your bread upon the water, and in many days it will come back. And I'm going to share this with you. It may not happen for you this way, but it happened for me this way. My husband is the one that always said, we're going to tithe no matter what. No matter what, we're going to tithe. And there were times like, oh, God, we're going to get this money to tithe. And we would tithe. Okay, a little over 7 years ago, I had a brain tumor. It was the size of a golf ball. Deep in my cerebellum, and I asked the doctor, why do I have to get it out? He said, because it's deep. Oh, okay. It was shutting off the fluid to my brain. So prayer went on for a week. Hallelujah. I did keep a cup by my bed, hoping that the Lord would just pluck it out and throw it in the cup, and I was going to give it to the doctor. Oh, yeah. But okay, when it didn't happen, I thought, okay, I got to go through this, and I wanted to represent the Lord well. So I get the tumor out, you know. It cost, oh my gosh, the doctor was like $5,000 and the hospital and all that things because I was in there a few days. By the way, I went in on a Monday. I was home on a Thursday. Just want you to know, God is good. Praise the Lord. Well, the bill came, and I just want you to know the Lord took care of that bill. It was almost $100,000. He took care of it, not me. He did. Almost $100,000. So cast your bread upon the waters. Many days it will come back. I don't know if that happened for y'all. I'm just standing in faith, believing, and cheerfully giving to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So after that, I'm just telling you, it's just a reminder of what God is able to do for you. If you stand on the word, have faith like our pastor has preached this morning, standing in faith, believing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and you hear it over and over and over again. Hey, that's a lot of money I did not have that God took care of. And he's taking care of things this time too. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be serving God and having faith in him. So now, if you have your tithes and offerings ready to go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we're happy. We're giving it to you, Lord. We're cheerfully going to give you this money, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. Oh, and praise the Lord for the trees being removed. We praise the Lord. He can take care of that. Thank you, Jesus. That's the old one. There it is. 785.31. We're believing God to bring in the rest and even more because he's God. He knows about the trees. We've asked him. We believe him and we receive from him. Hallelujah. So anyways, let's take our offering and lift it up to the Lord and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to plant seed in your kingdom. You're the one that gives us seed to sow and bread to eat. What a privilege, Lord, to plant this and watch it grow and multiply and help others hear the gospel or the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.